Hello, welcome to the Chess Boxing Podcast with me, the Grievous Bodily Farmer. We're doing the podcast remotely. This is Sunday, the 22nd of March, in the middle of the coronavirus outbreak. So we're doing it via Skype. And on the line, I've got David, Northern Powerhouse Germany.
Hi, guys.
I've also got a crowd favourite, John the Brickwood.
Hiya.
John, should we start with you? Because your fight is probably the shortest of the night. Do you want to just take us through your entrance and then the first round of chess?
Me, sorry, the shortest. Yeah, oh, God. Yeah, there's a few regrets, of course, the whole thing. The entrance is like kind of typical John the Brick entrance, and that went okay. The chess.
Hey, that entrance was better than last time. What are you talking about? Was it? Okay. Yeah. It was amazing, yeah.
God, you mind now, John, okay. When I found a brick later on in the night when I came back out of the audience.
I think partly because I got beat on both counts, really, that I was a little bit depressed, as I suppose people are when they get battered a bit. I didn't feel the audience were quite as with me as they have been in the past. You know, like lots of people coming up before with wanting me to sign a brick and things like that, and I think it's partly psychological, you know, that because you haven't done as well as you wanted to, that you kind of sat back in the crowd and just being a bit miserable. Although it was a great event in every other respect, you know.
I can tell you, John, that people who I was selling tickets to, sort of friends of friends on WhatsApp groups, the first thing they said is John the Brick fight. And when I told them that you were, that's when they started buying tickets. So you've definitely got. I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious.
Yeah.
And I thought your entrance was great. I think the crowd. I think we were lucky to have a crowd. I thought it was going to be a lot emptier. And the crowd didn't drink a lot, which is not surprising given the circumstances. But the fact that they were there, I'd say probably three quarters of the crowd of the tickets sold turned up, which was incredible, really. And we were lucky to have. Cool. But I thought your entrance was good. It was very good. But then I have to say the check, because we did talk before about opening. You were white, weren't you? So you got to open. And what was the opening you were planning to do?
Right. I was going to do that hippo thing that you and a few other people had taught me and set me up to do. And I had it all in my mind to do that. And I'd been practicing it. And I thought, all right, that'll keep me for at least two rounds. I wasn't expecting to win the chess, but you never know what might happen. I have got a bit better at it. But the clock was ticking. And so I didn't realise. And somebody said, oh, your clock's ticking. And I was like, rather nervously, just moved the first piece in front of me. Forward, and that wasn't the hippo move. Then I kind of just was going on autopilot, and rather quickly, and I think as you said, Gurr was going very quickly as well, and I was just kind of following him. And then I realised I was in a terrible situation, and then I just couldn't work out how to get out of it. And it was that was just the end of it, almost straight away.
Yeah, because we had a virtual training session yesterday with David, who gave you a little bit of advice. Yeah. And there was a lot of really great advice, a lot of technical advice. We also discussed, it's not even about chess, it's in any sport, is being able to keep your head and being able to think clearly under pressure. And I think it, even about the chess, was it? It was just that first rush of adrenaline when you sat down. And instead of, I've planned what I'm going to do, I'm just going to follow through with it. You just sort of made a rash decision, didn't you? And after that, it was all going to be downhill.
No, it's because I underestimate how important it is to stay calm in the chess. Because I'm thinking about the boxing. Obviously, the boxing's more like kind of real in the sense you might get hurt if you're not on board. But I've neglected that part of it a bit, and I've got to like calm down a little bit more with the chess and think about, because I have developed a bit over, you know, when playing long games of chess, I've developed, but it's just getting into the short bursts of chess and getting more used to that, I think, is a problem.
So by the time you went into the first boxing round, the Gerard had a checkmate opportunity already on the board, didn't
he? Yeah. So how you rather kindly kind of held on so we could have entertain the crowd and have a proper bit of a scrap.
Because obviously I was busy doing various things, but I didn't see your boxing round live. I just saw you at the end of the round. You looked very tired. Actually, having watched it back now, I actually thought the boxing was fairly even. How did you find it in real time?
I think, again, I slightly underestimated it in terms of his... I think part of the problem was I wasn't fit enough. I just wasn't anywhere near fit enough for that level of boxing. I'd have been all right against other opponents who aren't as lively. But when... And I started off nervously as well, kind of just throwing punches that weren't landing, and I didn't get my timing right. And he, like in sparring, I feel as though I've got the measure in the terms I know where he is and how he's coming forward, and he'll catch me, but I'll catch him. But in the actual kind of ferocity of the actual fight, he got the better of me, I'd say, on a couple of occasions where I mistimed it and he hit me quite hard. And then I was thinking, right, okay, I was just settling into it, and then he caught me with which looks innocuous on the film, but he caught me with a right hook, which he's not particularly good at as he'll probably admit himself, at like close in boxing, so I wasn't really particularly worried about that. But he did catch me with a hook, and it hit me right on the temple, and it sent me a bit wobbly. And after that was near the end of the round anyway. But after that, it was a matter of kind of keeping going. Maybe I'd have, if we had had more time, I'd have kind of settled into the boxing a bit more. And, might have found my form a bit. But I was a bit disappointed with the boxing as well. I think part of it was fitness. And part of it, he was quicker. He was quicker to the punch, so which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I think also there was a moment where you were doing a bit of rope-a-dope, like the John the Brick, sort of moving your head. And you looked very confident. And that was before I think he caught you with that hook. Did you go down with that hook?
Yeah, I think the referee thought I'd slipped, so he didn't give me a count. But I actually went down. I kind of felt, when you just get that, whoa.
Yeah.
Kind of, boom, boom. And I kind of got up straight away and I was okay.
Yeah.
But I actually went down involuntarily. I didn't slip. He definitely got the better of me, and I was disappointed a bit in that. But I think if, in my defence, I only had like a couple of weeks notice in that, but I thought I'd be able to get on track. And then I had about three sessions. Heavy sessions before, and it was nowhere near enough. The I was listening to the commentary a bit later. It was a bit kind of damning of, the professional boxer Terry Marsh. Sorry, yeah. He was saying, "Oh well, that's why you give it up when you get to a certain age and all this kind of thing." And I think that was a bit disappointing, really, because I don't think it's about the age. I think it's about how fit you are. I think it should be related to, if you've got two other opponents and one's better than the other and getting the better of them, you're not going, oh, that's because he's old.
So, John, Terry Marsh is about your age. Is he about 61, 62, I think? You're
a bit younger than me, yeah. I'm not going to fight him.
he's a very good chess player as well.
That would be a total mismatch.
So I would also just like to thank you, John, for taking the fight at short notice. We had five fighters pull out within about 3 weeks of the fight. So thank you for stepping in. We wouldn't have had a show without you guys stepping in, so it's very much appreciated.
It was a good show. I mean, despite my personal disappointments, it was a great show.
Perhaps we should talk to David about his fight. Was your first fight you had, David?
Well, indeed, yeah. I very much enjoyed it. Fantastic event. I mean, considering the circumstances as well, You know, the crowd were fantastic and they gave you a lot of energy because I was the first one actually onto the stage in the whole event. So you never quite know what's going to happen, if the crowd are going to warm to you or anything. And I thought my entrance went very well. The Dark Destroyer sort of entrance quite worked well. And I got into the ring, I could feel quite a lot of energy off the crowd. And then it was kind of really strange because as soon as I sat down and started playing chess against Cameron, literally I did not hear the crowd at all.
Well, you, in fairness, you did have headphones on, so the whole point is you're not supposed to hear it.
Yeah. No, I sort of meant like even in the boxing, like it was just the focus, just on the boxing, on the chess. You know, I couldn't feel anything off the crowd, hear anything off them or anything like that. It was just the focus.
It's quite an intimate experience, boxing, because you don't really have a chance to consider anything else apart from your opponent. And you don't get a chance to consider the past or the future. You're so focused on their movement. It's a very strange feeling when you get into that zone, which you almost always do in a proper fight because it's, you know, it's serious stuff, isn't it? How did you feel that yourself then, from what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it was, you're so focused on Cameron's movements. I mean, considering the length of his arms, I sort of had to be focused.
Yeah. He can always give you a very hard jab, can he?
Well, yeah, and with a very hard backhand as well. So, kind of wanted to avoid a few of those.
And how did you find, we'll get on to chess in a minute, but how did you find his reach and how did you manage that? When one of the later rounds of boxing, you made a real attempt to just basically rush in. How did you find getting behind that?
I found it all right, actually getting in and sort of... you know, I caught him with a decent one. I can't remember whether that was in the second or third boxing round, probably the second. And, you know, he caught me with a few good ones, but they were reasonably good ones. They weren't like amazing ones. So although they sort of rattled you a little bit, I managed to stay on my feet all the time. And it was just quite a good contest. And then when you got to the third round, it was quite interesting because I think if he would have fought like he did in the second round, I think he would have got me down quite a few times. But I think because he knew that the chess was lost, he swung quite a bit, which allowed me to sort of dance around and block a number of shots. I mean, I'm not even sure I threw a shot in the third round.
John, you're technically one of the better boxers in the club. Have you watched David's fight back?
I'd only watched a little bit of it. Yeah, well done, Dave. I thought you did really well in defending yourself quite well and very, very aggressive. I'm sure you must feel proud of yourself that you've got into the ring with somebody who's got a lot more experience than you in boxing and you managed to survive it. I'd be quite happy about that.
I think that's the word, John, survived.
Because he is a good boxer. I saw him box against Toby, and he controlled Toby to an extent, and that's a very, very difficult thing to do. So he is a very good boxer.
Yeah. I mean, he had the measure of me on the boxing, without a doubt. You know, it was just the chess that managed to win it for me.
I think Cameron controlled Toby, which is something that not many boxers could do, and he does use his reach to good effect. I also think there's a bit of a underlying narrative that was kind of, it was interesting how the chess and the boxing panned out because David was more defensive on the boxing because he kind of had to be because he was less experienced, but also he sort of had the upper hand on the chess, whereas conversely Cameron was much more passive in the chess. I think that's, we talked about that yesterday, David, because Cameron plays chess and then naturally perhaps passive is the wrong word, but certainly not aggressive. What would you say, David?
Yeah, I'd agree with that totally. So my theory on the chess was I'm going to lose the boxing, So I'm going to have to come out all guns blazing in the chess. So I decided that if Cameron plays something like pawn to king 4, so e4, and it ends up that I can play gambit line, I'm just going to play a gambit line and throw some material at the start to give me a huge attack, which it ends up after about 9 moves, I'd won a piece. But he gave Cameron an attack, which worked out not like I wanted.
It was actually one of the better chess games, chess boxing games we've had, because the weaker player, Cameron's a good chess player, but he's a lot weaker than you, David. I'm sure Cameron won't mind me saying that. He was able to break down your king side, and it perhaps it looked more dangerous than it was. I think having analysed it with you yesterday in our virtual training session, at the time, and certainly the commentators were very excited about that e-pawn marching down the file there. But it actually made for a very, very exciting chess game, because Cameron sort of had better attack, but then he was the piece down. So it was whether he could make that count. And ultimately, he didn't manage to do that. But it was very much worth watching. You can watch the whole thing on twitch.tv/London Chess Box. So something I want to ask you, David, is it was a very obvious moment. Perhaps John can pick up this thread. Perhaps, I don't know if you've seen this part of the chess game, but it was a very obvious moment where David's boxing affected his chess. Which part was that, David? Do you remember?
That was where I completely missed a rook hanging on my second rank. And thankfully, I think the boxing had affected Cameron as well, because he missed it the following move.
And it's really interesting, because perhaps you'll back me up on this, both of you, but it's a bit like being drunk. You think you can drive fine until you crash.
Yeah.
You don't know that you can't do it. And it's only when you look back and think, I cannot believe I did that, or I missed that, or I was unaware of that. And it's not just the fact that you make mistakes, it's the fact that you're just completely unaware. It's a very interesting exercise in perspective.
True.
I've looked back over the game, and there's a number of moments where I think, if I was just playing a game with no boxing, I would have 100% spotted that. There was a moment reasonably near the end of the game where technically I think it was a mate in 5 that I missed, but realistically, unless Cameron's going to throw some silly moves in, it's a mate in 2. And I can't believe I missed it. But then you're in the boxing and you're so focused on just basically surviving the boxing and playing what you need to do to win it. Obviously, I missed the rook as well. And there was one moment in the game which I can vividly remember, which was when I, very much near the end of the game, I played a knight move where the commentators said, David's left a knight on pre. Cameron can take it for nothing. But there was a checkmate on as well. And Cameron spotted it, fair play to him. And when I played the move, he looked up at me, looked me in the eye, and just sort of smiled and nodded his head, almost in appreciation. And I just thought that was a really, because it's such an intimate experience in the boxing and the chess as well. And I just thought that was a lovely, lovely moment in the game.
Yeah, it was great.
No, that's great. That sounds great. Yeah.
And also, I think it really puts in perspective the quality of chess that Carl Ouch has, having gone through a round of boxing with Toby, having a standing 8 count, and then sitting down and playing some of the most exciting and devastating chess that we've seen on the chess boxing circuit. It was really an incredible fight, that one. Definitely worth watching back.
Yeah. No, that was really, really good. That was really, I'd say the kind of quality, apart from Dave's chess, of course, that in that particular event was brilliant all round. You had some great boxers as well, didn't you, from Russia, and in that was the same event, and Finland,
Russia, and shout to the Finnish guys, and really high quality boxing in that. Bring some of those guys back to London in October and December when this is all blown over.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, just before we go, David, I think something that I aspire to do is to get you into good shape boxing wise to fight Carl Ouch, because I think that would be one of the best ever boxing fights given both.
Yeah, that would be brilliant.
So I think that's something that we should be aiming to do probably early next year if we get you another fight this year and do some real intensive work on your technique. I see no reason why we can't get to that point. So, John, have you got anything else to add before we wrap it up?
No, not really. I can teach David how to move his head more, I suppose.
Conversely, John, I can teach you how to move your knights and bishops more.
Absolutely, God. Yeah, I've got to make some kind of improvement in the chess. That's the only thing that, you know, after thinking about it, I'm embarrassed about it, because all those people, like you say, are chess, chess not experts, but they really enjoy their chess. And that was rather a pathetic opening by me. But I'm determined to kind of sort that out. Yeah.
But John, you've already got enough chess to last a whole round. It's just that you didn't deploy your plan.
Yeah.
You know.
It's almost
wasn't really about the chess. It was just about keeping your head, sitting down, thinking before you move, taking a couple of breaths, and that's all you got to do.
Just calm down a bit. Yeah.
David, have you got anything else to add?
I'd just like to take an opportunity to shout out to all the Northerners that came. there was a number afterwards, and they sort of came up to me and went, "Oh, where are you from in the North?" And I said, "Oh, Blackburn." And they all started telling me where they were from in the North, and they'd come down to see it and all the rest of it. I was like, "This is brilliant."
All right, guys. Well, I think we'll wrap up there. You can get your tickets at londonchessboxing.com for our event in October. We're anticipating that it will go ahead. I hope all this will have blown over by then. You can also see all of our fights on twitch.tv/londonchessboxing. Go and check it out. Thanks very much, David, for being on the podcast.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good weekend. Stay safe.
And thanks very much, John. Thanks podcast and being part of the event at such short notice.
Great, no, thank you. No, I always enjoy it. This one in retrospect, but I always enjoy the event overall anyway. It's great, very exciting. Everybody from work enjoyed it who watched it on the the stream as well. They found it fascinating. They'd never seen the chess boxing before. They found the kind of competition absolutely riveting. So it's great.
Brilliant. Well, let's leave it there, guys. I'll see you for the virtual training session next Saturday. And hopefully we'll have another podcast around then as well. Thanks very much.
Great stuff. Bye.
Bye.